القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has mentioned, yustajabu lil abdi ma lam yasta'jil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always accept the dua of his servants until they don't do isti'jal, until they don't do isti'jal. The companions put forward a very important question and they said, mal isti'jal? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you clarify for us the meaning of isti'jal? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that a believer makes dua all the time and he has been praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes dua and he makes dua. He has been making dua for 6 months, for 1 year. And then he feels that I have been making dua for such a long period of time, but I don't see any results. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that his condition is that he says, قَدْ دَعَوْتُ قَدْ دَعَوْتُ. I made dua, I made dua, I made dua. فَلَمْ أَرَ يُسْتَجَابُ. But I don't see it to be accepted. And then a time comes that وَيَضَعُ الدُّعَى, that he stops making dua. He completely stops making dua. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this condition is not the condition of a believer. This should not be the situation of a believer. A believer should be that person who is continuously asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously. That should be his condition. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always accept your dua. That is a fact. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when is the right time for your dua to be accepted. So don't be hasty. Don't show this urgency that immediately my dua should be accepted. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam made dua for a Nabi to come in the city of Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua after 2,500 years. 2,500 years, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. No other Nabi came to the city of Makkah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is making dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is right. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from us is that if you stop this condition of lifting up your hands to Allah and you don't want to ask Him, then this is the trait of someone who's got kufr in his heart. Because the people who are mayus, who have lost hope, are the kuffar, not the believers. Believers are people of hope. لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That a person should not be despondent. He should not feel that the mercy of Allah has not opened up for me. For the believers, the mercy of Allah is always there. But sometimes there is this delay. There is this delay. So why is there this delay? Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi explains that this delay in the acceptance of dua is there for a reason, so that a person can become close to Allah. So a person can become close to Allah. At-taqarrubu ila Allah. So he gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you made dua and Allah accepted your dua, then obviously that condition, that desperation will not be there, because you already have what Allah has given you, what you asked for. And if this was the situation, that every time you raise your hands and you ask Allah and Allah is giving us everything all the time, then a person will not have that connection, that bonding. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates different situations around a person. Sometimes he is working very hard to find the right woman in his life, that I should get married. Subhanallah. And he is struggling. So many proposals came, but no result. And he goes to every individual wanting and looking for the right spouse. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that difficulty around him. Why? Because that difficulty is pushing him closer to Allah Pak. He is going for Fajr, he is going for Zuhr, he is going for Asr, he is praying to Allah. He is making dua all the time. He goes for Umrah, he is making dua. And this is something that is putting him very close to Allah Pak. He can't find a job. He's applied everywhere to find a good job. And he can't find a job. This situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a person there. So all the time he is crawling back, running back to Allah Pak. That, Ya Allah, I want this. Ya Allah, I want this. Ya Allah, I want this. He wants to buy a house, but he hasn't got the finance and he's struggling, or whatever. Continuously again he is going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes Allah puts a person in that situation so that relationship with Allah is intact. That relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intact. That is great wisdom. We have all heard of Majnoon. We have heard of Majnoon, the famous lover of Layla. In the pages of history, this lady is known as Layla. Majnoon was actually a very pious man. And he fell in love with this woman whose name was Layla. He fell in love with this lady. Some of the people say that she wasn't beautiful at all. That generally you'd expect a lady to be very beautiful, and that everybody would speak of her beauty. That was not the case of this lady. But Majnoon loved this lady, Layla. And his love was such that people knew him by the name Majnoon, which means Pagal. Pagal. Majnoon means insane, mad, madman. Because he was madly in love with this lady. But he did not commit zina. He did not commit zina. Continuously he would send his proposal to the family of Layla and they would reject. They would reject. They would say no, no, no. A time came when Majnoon could not take this anymore, and then he would make dua to Allah in the night, and he would say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bari ta'ala, you are Qadir. You are Qadir. And Qadir means the most powerful. The most powerful. Ya Allah, I am asking two things from you. You can either open the doors for Layla to marry me. Oh Ya Allah, take away the love of Layla, this burning love in my heart. Take it away from my heart. So at least I can have sukoon and peace. I am in the middle. Layla is not mine. And her thoughts are in my mind all the time. And this is the dua that he was making. Until one day in the night when he was sleeping, he saw a dream that an angel came to him and said to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a message, O Majnoon. There is a message from Allah. Beshak, without a doubt, Allah is Qadir. Allah is Qadir. And if Allah wants, Allah can get you married to Layla. And if Allah wants, Allah can take away from your heart the love for Layla. But Allah is saying, O Majnoon, if Allah gives you anything from the two that you mention, will your condition be the same as it is now? How you stand up in front of me in the night in tahajjud, and how you pray to me, and how you take my name, and how you think of me, and how you remember me all the time. This taqarrub, this closeness that you have attained, will it be the same? Will it be the same? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that message. That sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hakeem. He knows what is right. And there is always something that is there in a person's life. And this is ni'mah from Allah. And this something is that key which will unlock his heart and connect it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes will not accept your dua immediately. He will not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is right and what is wrong. Someone is asking, Ya Allah, give me a child, give me a child. I knew a friend who was a pediatric doctor, and he would serve the children all the time. And he would come to me and say, Maulana, dua kare Allah mujhe aulaad de. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him children after 19 years. How many years? Allah blessed him with a child after 19 years. And then after 19 years, Allah gave him one child and then another child immediately. Allah knows what is right. Allah knows what is wrong. Allah knows the hikmat. Now, another mas'ala, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has explained something that we need to really understand. Even if you feel that for now 2-3 years I have been asking Allah Pak, but outwardly, apparently I have not seen the results. I have not seen the results. Every time I go to the masjid, the imam will say, ask Allah and he listens to you. Ask Allah and he listens to you. Okay. I have been doing dua for many years now, but outwardly, apparently, the results are not there. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi says that this is also the mercy of Allah. This is also the mercy of Allah. that when a person adopts this condition, that now he says, I love my Allah and I have been asking Allah for this all my life, but now I am happy with whatever Allah decrees for me. What is his condition? I am happy with Allah that whatever he decrees for me, whatever Allah wants, I am happy. Whatever Allah wills. When this becomes his condition, in the Islamic terminology, this is called tafweez o tasleem. Tafweez o tasleem. Tafweez o tasleem means when a person reaches that high level, that now he is saying that whatever Allah brings upon me, I will accept. That is given to the awliyaullah of this ummah. Who is it given to? The awliyaullah. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a person in that situation that his heart can change and his connection with Allah becomes so strong that he says, ma qaddar Allah, look, whatever Allah has decreed, whatever Allah wills, this was my desire, this is my wish, I have been making dua, but no, khair, khair, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And he is so sincere about that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now takes him out from the list of the common people, from the am mu'mineen, and puts him in the list of the awliyaullah of this ummah. That is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tafweez wa tasleem. Sometimes you will see that a person is ill in the hospital and he has been making dua all the time. Ya Allah, give me shifa, Allah, give me shifa. But that shifa is not coming. But that shifa is not coming. And then his condition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes even stronger. Despite the fact that this is what I want from my Allah, and this as a human being I am asking Allah, but Allah is Hakim, he knows what is right. And now he takes it at another level, that I am happy with whatever Allah has decreed for me. I am happy with whatever Allah has decreed for me. That subhanallah, then this individual now will be in the hospital. He might not be praying tahajjud, he might not be reciting the Quran, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in the category of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani and the awliyaullah and the great buzrugani deen of this ummah. This man is also there. Can you imagine how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? That is why when Ibrahim alayhi salam was flung into that fire, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he said, O Nabi of Allah, if you want, I can go to Allah and pass your message to him that your Nabi is saying this. That your Nabi is saying this. Now where is he? In that fire. Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel, tell me one thing. Has Allah got the knowledge of what is happening to me? So he says, of course he has. Then Jibreel, I don't need you. I am happy with what Allah has decreed. What is it? I am happy with what Allah has decreed. That level is a very high level. That level is a very high level. And sometimes that level can come in a person for a few months. For a few months. Just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate his position in the hereafter. Just to push him a bit on top. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always listens to the dua of a believer. Always remember that. Another very important ruling that we need to understand is that when we make dua, we should not just make dua for this dunya. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong that we make dua for this dunya. There's nothing wrong. But a believer should also focus towards the hereafter. You can't just make dua, Allah Pak, mujhe wo PS4 chahiye. Is it PS4 or 5 now? Huh? Oh, you guys are so pious, you won't know that. Sorry, Imam knows that. So, a PS4 chahiye, beautiful car, beautiful mansion. You know, I want to go for a holiday there, this place. And he's asking for dunya. No problem. You know, you can ask Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you can ask anything. But when you ask for dunya, what is Allah saying? Ask for akhirat more than dunya. What is it? Ask for akhirat more than dunya. And this is taught to us in a very beautiful dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh Allah, bless us with every good in this dunya. Right? And then Allah says, wa fil akhirati hasana. And oh Allah, also give us hasana in the hereafter. Now, if you look at the line of the Quran, it is equal. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. It's equal. Allah bless us in this dunya, bless us in the hereafter. That is fine. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about akhirat, Allah adds another line and He says the most important line. What is after that? Waqina adhab an-nar. Waqina adhab an-nar. The hereafter dua is much more than the dua of this dunya. That, oh Allah, and also save us from the fire of Jahannam. What is it? Save us from the fire of Jahannam. What is this dunya, my respected brothers and elders? There was a rich man looking out from his window and he saw a poor man opening the bins wanting some food. And he was extremely hungry. So he looked at that poor man putting his hands inside the bins for food. Anything that is left over. And in his heart he said, I thank God, I thank Allah that I am not in that position. I'm not a poor man. I'm not a poor man. Now this poor man looks in front and he sees this individual who was not well in his mind, suffering from insanity. And he was doing things in public which he should not. He was taking out his clothes. What was he doing? Pagal tha bichara. He was taking out his clothes. So now this poor man is looking at that man who is mad. So this poor man is saying, I thank Allah, look at, okay, I am poor, but at least I'm not mad. I'm poor, but at least I'm not. I've got the faculties of understanding everything, what is right and what is wrong. At least I'm not mad. This madman is now walking naked on the streets. Subhanallah, now this madman looks at an ambulance carrying this person who was ill. And so this person who is mad now in his mind is thinking, shukr, I am not that ill person that is being carried in the ambulance. Shukr, I am not that person who is being carried in the ambulance. Now the ill person who is in the ambulance is taken to the hospital. So when he is taken to the hospital, he sees that on a trolley there is a dead man that is taken to the mortuary. So this ill man in the hospital is thanking Allah and he says, Shukr Allah, I am not that dead person that is on the trolley to be taken to the mortuary. But that dead man now cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reality of life. That is the reality of this dunya. Three locations, if we can understand these three locations, we will understand what is dunya and what is akhirat. If a person can understand this location, what is called hospital. Kya hai? Hospital. Oho. You know, some of the doctors are in and out from the hospital and they know what they see a lot of the times. But when you are in the hospital, that is the time a person will value good health. And in his mind he will say, there is nothing better than good health. There is nothing better than good health. Another very important venue is the prison. Kya hai? The prison. Anybody has had an opportunity to go to the prison? Not in that way, of course. I mean, you know, to visit somebody. But I've been there for a few occasions to do a bayan there with the Muslim inmates that are there. And wallahi, no matter what a person will say, that, you know, there's a lot of ease and freedom that is given here, and there's a gym there, and people can study in the prison, all that, put that on one side. Despite all that, the fact of the matter is that if you've been to the prison, that is the time a person will value freedom. A person will value freedom. And the third most important location is the final location, which is the cemetery. And when you go to the cemetery, then a person will realize that in reality this life is nothing. This life is nothing. This life that we are walking on this earth will become a roof for us one day. This earth will become a roof for us one day. This is the reality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that when you make dua, don't be occupied too much in this dunya. You will have your fair share. But don't forget the hereafter. That is the main zone. And this akhirat starts from qabr. Where does it start from? Qabr. Akhirat starts from qabr. So we need to make dua. Bari ta'ala, give us a good death. Bari ta'ala, save us from the difficulty of sakarat. Save us from the difficulty of sakarat. Allahu Akbar. Allah, meri aapki hifazat farmaye. Really. At that last moment, when you see nowadays what is happening, all these pipes that are put through and a person can't speak and this and that. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Allah, save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us. What is this human being? That we should be focusing towards the hereafter. This is what the Quran is telling us. That when you also make dua, don't do isti'jal. And that when you also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also make dua of the hereafter. Make dua of the hereafter. Now, there are also certain things, certain individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. That sometimes Allah does not accept the deeds of certain individuals. Certain individuals. Now when I say this, I don't want brothers to feel that, oh no, what will happen of me. No, no. This is a reminder for us. Everyone is faulty. I have problems, you have problems, everybody has problems. When you don't feel right and you feel dirty, we go and have a shower. Don't we have a shower? We do ghusl. So that we become pure. You don't remain dirty all the time. So if there are things that are in us which are impure, then we have to make ourselves pure. Make that effort so that we make ourselves pure. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, there are three types of people that Allah does not accept from them any deeds. What is it? Any deeds. No amal. Despite the fact that there's iman there, but Allah does not accept. Number one, al-aq. Number one is al-aq. The one who is rude to his mother and parents. The one who is rude to the mother and parents. Allah save us. The problem is in this Western world that we live in, with the TV channels that are opened up for us, and the movies that are there, a lot of the times what we do is that we also do things like how that environment wants us to be influenced by. And we don't even realize that we adopt that attitude of kufr. And everything goes wrong. Allahu Akbar. Everything goes wrong. And now we show no respect to our parents. We are rude to our parents. Al-aq means to be rude. And some people like to play slick with their mother's parents. And when the mother and the father will say, look, beta, I don't want you to go there. And they lie. And they say, Abba, I'm not going there. Mom, I'm not going there. And they go exactly to that place where the mother and father don't want that person to go. This is what shaitan does. Eventually he is affected and that person is harmed. And then what happens? Subhanallah, a time comes that he realizes, but it becomes too late. So a person should never disobey mother and father. A person should never disobey mother and al-aq. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be rude. Don't be rude to your parents. Respect your parents. Help them. Hold them. Respect them. Help them. If they are carrying a bag, help them. If they have their shoes in their hands, take it from them. Assist them. Assist them. This is something very important. Inshallah ta'ala, if this generation can do that, then inshallah the future for us is very, very bright. But how many people have the time to come to listen to the bayan? How many? Ye dekhe kitni sharam ki baat. How many people are here? Honestly, sometimes I feel like in my heart I should not even be doing the bayan. Lekin majboor, maulvi hu na. Kya hu? Maulvi hu. Majboor. That thing comes. But look at it. Subhanallah. But if you go to places like other places in the world, you'll see Allahu Akbar. Masajid and the youth are full in the hundreds. But no, on a Friday, people are scattered everywhere. People have got no time. They don't come. They don't listen. When they don't listen, they don't understand the meaning of al-aq. What they will understand is what they see in the TV. Gali dena, gali bakna, marna pitna, that's all. And then number two, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-mannan. Allah does not accept al-mannan. Al-aq and mannan. Mannan means the one who has a habit of reminding the favors that he has done. Reminding the favors that he has. He did something and he's constantly saying, meri wajah se tu hai. I did that for you. I helped you. You have a business. You know, I gave him 3,000, 4,000 at that time. I helped him. Today he's a mega millionaire. But very rare. I helped him. Yani koi bhi baat. He likes to remind that person of the favors given. Al-Mannan. Allah does not like that. Bhai, favors don't come from insan. That is tawfiq that comes from Allah that you did. And number three affects a businessman. A businessman who likes to lie. And he says, wallahi, wallahi, I got this for, you know, 200 pounds. Wallahi, 200 pounds. This is how much I got it for. I'm not making a profit in this. You know, you want it, you know, you can have it for 210 pounds. Just 10 pounds. And he's all lying. And what is he saying? Wallahi, wallahi. Allah does not like that person who does business like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So remember, my respected brothers and elders, as we conclude, there was a man who put a question forward to a great sheikh, and he said, Hazrat, look, I am a practicing Muslim. I pray my namaz, I pray my Quran, I do all this, but I still feel I still suffer from anxiety and depression, and I feel sad. I feel sad. But I'm a practicing Muslim. I pray my namaz, give sadaqah. You know, I'm regular with salah. I do my tilawat. But still, you know, I feel very, very sad. Why is that? And this can happen to many people. That is from shaitan. What is it? That is from purely from shaitan. A person who is regular in his salah and who is worshipping Allah, he should not dictate to Allah that I am doing this, so why this is not happening to me? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are doing. That condition that you are suffering from is because you are allowing the shaitan to manipulate with you. Because he is the one who makes people sad, and especially people of iman. إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. لِيَحْزُنَ means that Allah, that shaitan is the one who makes the people of iman sad. So this suffering, anxiety, and for a person to be sad, this is actually from shaitan. And a person needs to fight this system from inside. That no, alhamdulillah, I am positive. And a person should remain positive. Otherwise in his heart, shaitan will bring waswasa all the time, and he will not want to drive. What? I'm scared. I'm suffering from anxiety. If I drive, accident will happen. If I eat, I might die. And so all sorts, the shaitan is making him feel very, very low. Now all of a sudden he had a loving relationship with the wife. They would go out, they would eat together, they would go to the park. Mashallah, good relationship. Now all of a sudden this attitude has changed. Sometimes it affects the wife, sometimes it affects the husband. And they say, I'm feeling very sad, I'm feeling very down. But you're praying your namaz, you're giving charity, you are doing the zikr of Allah, you are doing everything right, then understand that this is clearly from shaitan. What is it? Clearly from shaitan. This is from shaitan. And so a person now needs to fight that. It's like when a person is performing salah, he says, oh, I'm performing salah, but evil thoughts, they come to my mind. In my salah, evil thoughts. But why? You have to fight it. You have to fight this system. And so mashallah, when a person thinks like that, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will really assist him. Will really assist him. On the token of this subject of as-sabur, that Allah is the most patient and that we should do sabr, but we will only do sabr with the right tools and the aid that we have, and that is dua, that we make dua, Allah will give us protection. And I also mentioned this last year, that what really helps is the prescription given to us by Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I heard this from a great muhaddis, Mufti Sayyid Palanpuri. For him to speak, he himself is an authority. What is he? Mufti Sayyid Palanpuri is a great, perhaps the greatest muhaddis in the subcontinent today. Perhaps the greatest muhaddis in the subcontinent today, who is the muhaddis and he teaches in the Ulum Deoband. A great scholar who has written commentary and shuruhat of ahadith. So he was saying that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's habit was that after Fajr Salah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take his right hand and he would place it towards the forehead like this, and he would say, Bismillah, Allahumma ghfir li wa adhib anni al-hamma wal-huzna wal-adha. Bismillah, Allahumma ghfirli. In the name of Allah, O Allah, make my maghfirat. Wa adhib anni, and O Allah, remove from me al-hamma wal-huzna wal-adha, anxiety, depression, every difficulty, and O Allah, make me very active. And then after that, where your right ear is, just at the back there, the same dua. And then towards the top. And then towards the top of the head. Three sections. Here, here, and here. And this will make a tremendous difference in a person's life. If he suffers from depression, if he suffers from anxiety, if he feels that he's sad all the time, and he feels doom and gloom all the time, not happy and he can't smile. This is from shaitan. It's from shaitan. But inshallah ta'ala, Fajr Salah, after Fajr, if he reads this dua, what is the dua? Bismillah. Everybody knows Bismillah? Okay. The second is easy. Allahumma ghfirli. Allahumma ghfirli. Bismillah. Allahumma ghfirli. Bismillah, Allahumma ghfirli. Wa adhhib anni
al-hamma
wal-huzna wal-adha. Al-hamma wal-huzna wal-adha. Inshallah, it will really make a difference. Really make a difference. And because this is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala, to understand the meaning of a sabur, and also how important it is that we are always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, if you can close your eyes and do muraqabah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سمعنا وأطعنا وغفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.